And that's all the time we got, boys and girls, friends and neighbors. So thanks to Elliot and Lacey for taking care of our phone calls. Thanks to Augie Doherty for coming in and talking to us about the armchair boogie. And stay tuned for a news roundup with journalist Ryan Grimm on a public affair. And it's time for me to head on down the old Catfish Highway. Thanks again. Bye-bye. This is WORT 89.9 FM, Madison.
One thing and another. Catfish for supper. First one thing and then another. And God, no menu.
Myanmar's military leader Min Aung Hlaing has made a rare request for international help after a powerful earthquake hit the center of the country, flattening buildings and bridges. The epicenter was near the city of Mandalay, home to 1.5 million people. A rescue worker there told the BBC's Burmese service the damage was enormous. Marie Manrique, the acting head of the Red Cross in Myanmar, is in the country's largest city, Yangon.
It is now nighttime. It's quite dark out. We know that these local humanitarian actors are still looking for people in buildings that have collapsed. We also know that infrastructure was largely affected, including roads and bridges, public institutions as well. So this is something we understand as a very serious humanitarian crisis and disaster that will need a large-scale response.
Rescuers in Thailand are working into the night to try to locate dozens of people trapped under the rubble of a high-rise building in Bangkok. The skyscraper was under construction and collapsed as tremors from the earthquake in Myanmar reached the city. The BBC's Lyndall Markwell is in Bangkok.
The Thai Prime Minister was here a few hours ago to see the work of the rescue workers, to talk about plans moving forward. She also tried to reassure Bangkok, really, to say that the rest of the city's buildings are thought to be safe. They believe that the other buildings in the city were able to withstand this level of earthquake. And people have gone back to their homes this evening, but here tonight, the rescue work is really just beginning.
The US Vice President, J.D. Vance, is visiting a remote US military base in Greenland. The scaled-back trip comes amid tensions between the Trump administration and both local Greenlandic politicians and Denmark. President Trump has repeatedly expressed his desire for the US to get control of Greenland, a semi-autonomous Danish territory. Opinion polls indicate the vast majority of residents oppose this. Mr. Vance briefly addressed US troops at the base.
I just want to say thank you all. Thanks for having us and thanks for being here. Thanks for doing what you do. I know it's a lot of sacrifice to spend a year away from your families, but the mission is really important. The Trump administration, the president is really interested in Arctic security. As you all know, it's a big issue and it's only going to get bigger over the coming decades. So thanks for doing what you do.
Lebanon and Syria have signed an agreement to address security issues and military movement along their common border. The two countries' defense ministers met in Saudi Arabia on Thursday night, and according to Saudi media, they agreed on the demarcation of their frontier and the establishment of specialized committees to oversee security threats. This comes after border clashes between the Syrian military and what Syrian media reported to be Hezbollah fighters. The Iran-backed group has denied any involvement. BBC News. The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has said the army will strike everywhere in Lebanon against any threat. Earlier, Israel's military said it struck a Hezbollah target in southern Beirut after two rockets were fired from Lebanon towards Israel. Mr. Netanyahu said the army would continue to use force to implement a November ceasefire with Hezbollah and ensure that residents of northern Israel could return to their homes. Hezbollah has said it did not fire the rockets. Speaking at a news conference, the Lebanese president, Joseph Aoun, denounced the attack.
It goes without saying that we strongly condemn this and reject any attack on Lebanon, as well as any suspicious or malicious attempt to return Lebanon to the spiral of violence. What is important is that what is happening makes us even more determined to build our state and army and extend our authority over all our territories to protect Lebanon and all its people.
Officials in Nepal say two people have died and dozens have been injured in clashes between the security forces and pro-monarchy protesters in Kathmandu. A curfew has been imposed in some areas. Earlier, the authorities said pro-monarchy demonstrators vandalised and set fire to several buildings. The head of the United Nations has called for the leaders of South Sudan to lay down weapons and put their people first. Antonio Guterres warned that the peace agreement in South Sudan was in a mess, calling the situation darkly reminiscent of previous civil wars that left 400,000 people dead. Britain's Ministry of Defence says it's launched an urgent investigation after hundreds of pages of military documents were found scattered across a street in the English city of Newcastle. Some of the papers contained confidential information about soldiers, weapons and shift patterns. The documents, some marked official sensitive, were found by a football supporter who told the BBC they were spilling from a black bin bag. BBC News.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Just Coffee, Madison's Fair Trade Roasting Cooperative. Just Coffee buys fair trade coffee to ensure equitable conditions for coffee grower cooperatives around the world and roasts locally in small batches. More information at 204-9011 or on the web at justcoffee.coop.
WORT thanks its listener sponsors and Five Nines, a locally owned cloud service provider of enterprise-level IT infrastructure consulting, hosting, and management services. On the web at fivenines.com. Phone number 512-1000.
6'6" above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take you to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground, another pirate station. We bring the truth to
place. No change without struggle. No one in power ain't giving up nothing. No change without struggle. No one in power.
WORT 89.9 FM, listener-sponsored community radio, Madison, Wisconsin.
And hello, welcome to A Public Affair. I am Esti Dinor. I want to say, first of all, that I was very, very sad and disturbed to hear about the earthquake in Thailand. I'm also very sad to know that the United States is not going to help. Just wanted to say that. And to follow that by thanks for the support during the pledge drive. I've been gone for the 2 weeks after that and should report to you that the first week we made close to twice our goal. The second week we made our goal, I believe, though that was like pulling teeth. But between the two, we did really well. I understand that the station did very well. I really, really appreciate your donations and pledges, especially during our hour, of course. But also, generally, you are helping this station survive and thrive, and especially in these very difficult days, I think it's so important, and I think you know that. So thank you, much appreciation. The guest we were supposed to have today has not showed up, which is good news, because I actually have been wanting to talk with you all and hear what you think and how you feel in these difficult times, in the turbulence that is affecting all of us. I will talk a little bit, but you are welcome to start calling at 608-256-2001. You can also join us on social media in various ways, on Facebook at Wart Talk, on X, I guess we're still there, we'll talk about that guy here in a minute, at I forgot all my stuff in 2 weeks. So Sarah will help me here in a minute with how you can join us on X and on Blue Sky. But we'd love to hear from you personally at 608-256-2001. So let's start with Elon Musk, the guy whose trucks burst in flames and have to be recalled because parts are falling, whose rockets are breaking and falling off and causing tremendous amount of pollution, and who for some reason is the guy who is presumably taking care of efficiency and doing things right by basically destroying the American government. He's not even an American. He probably has citizenship. I'm not sure about that. I think he should be deported for the amount of damage that he's causing to this country and through that really to the world. I found during my time off, I found something very interesting I did not know, and you may not have heard. What's that name, Elon? It's an unusual name. Well, turns out that Wernher von Braun, the Nazi rocket scientist, by the way, I searched it now because I wasn't planning to talk about that, so I don't have the details on me, but I got it. The information comes from AI Overview. AI Overview calls Wernher von Braun a pioneering rocket scientist. So AI seems to be going according to the Trump-Musk latest. But Wernher von Braun, of course, was the Nazi rocket scientist who then was recruited by the Americans and worked on rocket science here in the United States. But he wrote a book titled The Mars Project. It was originally in German and it was called Das Mars Projekt. I don't know. In German. Anyway, the book was published in 1953, and it describes a Martian government once stupid humans destroyed their planet. So these 10 superior humans were sent to Mars, each of them with 10 very sexually enticing women. They were all sent to Mars to start a new colony, to start a new homeland for humanity. And so these 10 men became the government, and the government was led by a leader who would be named Elon. So interesting that his parents called him Elon, and he is the Elon that we're aware of. So it turns out that who he is, the Nazi that he is, and the superhuman that he thinks he is, and the 14 or maybe more children that he has fathered so far, it all started with his parents, white people, rich white people in South Africa. All very interesting, isn't it? So you know, one wonders, maybe one doesn't wonder, how it is possible that he's allowed to destroy the government, that he's allowed to destroy the United States, basically, and to what purpose? Like, what's behind all of that? If you have thoughts about that, you're welcome to call us at 608-256-2001. One thing we do know is that Tesla and SpaceX have a lot of contracts with the United States government that didn't start now. He's been making a lot of money out of our tax money for many years now, even though, again, like SpaceX hasn't been very successful in getting us to Mars, which is frankly the last thing I care about. But now he's getting so many more contracts. So, of course, one thing behind that is for Elon Musk, the wealthiest man on earth, to make even more money at the suffering of millions and millions and maybe billions when you think about the global effect of what he is doing together with his co-president Donald Trump. And you wonder whether he can be sued. And is anyone working on that? And of course, we have a Wisconsin angle on that, since we're having this election on April 1st to choose our next Supreme Court justice, state Supreme Court justice. I, of course, am voting for Susan Crawford, and Trump and Musk, of course, are voting for Brad Schimmel. But I'm just voting. But according to the Associated Press, Musk promises to go to Wisconsin to deliver $2 million to voters in the 2025 state Supreme Court race. Billionaire Elon Musk says he plans to hold a rally in Wisconsin to personally hand over $2 million to a pair of voters who have cast their ballots in the state's 2025 Supreme Court race, which comes despite a state law that prohibits giving anything of value in exchange for voting. So, first of all, I guess any of us can go to... Oh, you know, I don't know how he's going to do it. Is he going to stand in a town plaza? And like, what is he going to do? But I imagine most of you will be voting. And if so, maybe you can get $2 million from Elon Musk. But also, this is, of course, an opportunity to sue him. How about our AG suing him because he is doing something that that state law prohibits? The Supreme Court race here in our state has shattered previous spending records for a U.S. judicial election and has become a referendum basically on Musk and the first month of President Donald Trump's administration. Trump himself has endorsed Brad Schimmel and hosted a telephone town hall with him on March 27. So, yeah, we're very important right now. I urge all of you to go and vote on the 1st. Of course, vote to your heart's desire. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but I will say that this is a very, very incredibly important race, as you can see, as is obvious. Tesla takedown protests are taking place on Saturday, March 29, across the country. There is a dealership here in town, too. So if that's what your heart tells you to do, absolutely, please do that. Dan, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. That leads into my call. I have been involved, along with a number of other people, in these Tesla takedown demonstrations locally. And I did call yesterday, but I'm calling again today just to get the word out.
Yeah.
That there are demonstrations occurring here in Madison at various locations. The one I'm most familiar with is occurring this afternoon at 4:30 at the Tesla charging station at the intersection of Whitney Way and Aldana Road on Madison's west side. It's right near the Hy-Vee West grocery store. And, you know, we've had fluctuating attendance, but it'd be great if we could get more people out there peacefully exercising their First Amendment rights, bringing information about what Elon Musk is up to in destroying what little social safety net our country still provides. And so we're out there for visibility to, you know, educate the public. There's a lot of vehicle traffic around there. And as I said, peacefully exercising our First Amendment rights.
And I suppose bring signs.
Yes, bring signs. That'd be great. You know, fire Elon. And I realize, you know, this is just one small tool in the toolkit. And, you know, but apparently from what I've been hearing, you know, it is having a major impact on the bottom line of Tesla.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that Elon Musk and his broad or his ilk care about, it's money. And so every little bit, I tend to be a cynic, but every little bit, maybe. And just a little bit more, I don't want to take up too much time. You know, the local corporate media won't cover this any more than they would cover the Gaza.
I am so surprised.
Genocide.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just you won't see it in the State Journal, not even really the Capital Times. It's just we did have a couple TV stations out there the first week or two, but they've disappeared since then.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you know, thanks to WORT for letting me get this out there.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
For talking about it.
Yeah. You're welcome. Dan, since you are the first caller and we don't have other callers yet, how are you feeling, generally speaking? Are you depressed? Are you feeling called for action beyond the weekly Tesla protests? Are you hopeful that things will change? Are you scared that things will change for the worse? Where are you at?
Well, I am not a hopeful person by nature. I am pretty much in a funk over all of this. I also realize that, you know, Trump is just a symptom, and Trumpism and Musk are just a symptom of the social structures that we have. And you know, I'm getting out of my life, and it seems like not much has changed. In fact, things just have gotten worse and worse. I don't have a lot of hope, but especially considering what our society is doing to the planet and all the other living beings who are suffering because of it, who, you know, don't have any say in the matter. I don't know. I don't have a lot of hope. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we dig ourselves out of this mess and somehow figure out a way to live in an egalitarian society with each other and with all the other living creatures. But I'm not hopeful. But I'm trying to do a few things, just because otherwise, what, I start drinking again, drinking alcohol again? That's probably not the greatest idea.
No.
So, you know, like you, you know, do what you can.
Doing what we can, yeah. So here is just quickly, some good information on Tesla sales dropping in Europe. The European Automobile Manufacturers Association revealed on Tuesday that Tesla saw a 40% year-over-year drop in new vehicle registrations in Europe in February, while overall battery electric vehicle sales were up 26%. If I remember correctly, what I read about the same in the United States, the drop is here 48%. So, or maybe it was that he lost $48 billion, which, you know, I mean, it's a drop in the ocean for him. But anyway, yeah, thanks for what you're doing. And yeah, please don't start drinking, and if the urge comes, just find something else to do. Okay, Dan? Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye. And we have David on the line. Hi, David.
Hi, SD. Two things. One is I applaud you for talking about the antecedents of this in the Nazis who, with CIA help, escaped to Argentina and other places. The best book I can recommend, published in 2000 by Martin A. Lee, is called The Beast Reawakens, Fascism's Resurgence from Hitler's Spy Masters to Today's Neo-Nazi Groups and Right-Wing Extremists. It's a little dated, but it shows the historical roots. There's also some useful information in Jim Marr's book, The Rise of the Fourth Reich, which I think was published around 2009. I'm very happy that there is, this initial upsurge of protest and other means of trying to stymie Musk's agenda. However, I have no doubt that he and his group are serious fascists, and they intend, if they deem it necessary, to use the full repressive power of the state, and we have to be ready for that. I would recommend the Gene Sharp's 198 Methods of Nonviolent Action. It is available on the web, and I think people should... I'm not for going out on the streets with guns, but I do believe that people should organize self-defense in their neighborhoods in case the brown shirts come, to take them away. And also, we're going to be overtaken by ecological disaster, as many of us are aware, and I think that we should be prepared to become left-wing survivalists, organized cooperative survival economy here in the Madison area. So I thank you for your program, and hang in there, everybody. There was one last thing, and that is that Martin A. Lee's book, The Beast Awakens, he has a quote from T.E. Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia, in his book, The Seven Pillars of Wisdom. And it says, all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusky recesses of their minds wake in the day to find that it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they may act their dream with open eyes to make it possible. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, David. And speaking of books, Professor Jason Stanley of Yale University was a guest on this show at least two times that I remember about his book, How Fascism Works, The Politics of Us and Them. And I think we talked also about erasing history. And Jason Stanley has just announced that he has accepted a job offer in Canada. He's moving to Canada because he feels the United States is becoming increasingly authoritarian. He told the website, the Daily News, that he is moving to Canada to raise my kids in a country that is not tilting towards a fascist dictatorship. And he believes that Columbia University in New York City and other colleges are making a huge mistake by capitulating to Trump rather than fighting back against his war on academia, which... yeah, I mean, when you think about universities and the places of higher learning and academic freedom and freedom of speech, it is so disturbing that that they have folded so easily under pressure. And you may have heard, well, I'm sure you have heard about students who have been abducted, basically, by ICE. The latest that I'm aware of is Rumeysa Öztürk, from Turkey, as her last name suggests, a Tufts doctoral student and Fulbright scholar. You may have seen the video of her being detained. It was a warrantless arrest. She was basically, I think, leaving her home or maybe coming back when three men, to start with, came and surrounded her and told her that she's under arrest. They didn't show a warrant or anything. They didn't explain any reason for that. They just basically detained her. Then several other people joined them. The person who took the video kept asking them who they are, and they were like, "We're the police, we're the police." But again, they didn't show a warrant. And then they whisked her into a car, and she disappeared, as have several others so far. And I think of the students, none of them has been deported yet, but a whole bunch of people have been deported. We were told that this would be a sweep of the worst criminals. And in fact, a lot of people who have been living here for 30, 40 years, who raised families, who have been totally lawful residents, have been swept in it and sent away. That includes a Venezuelan professional goaltender who came to the United States because he participated in demonstrations against the government in Venezuela. Well, he, and again, he did not commit any crimes here or really in Venezuela, except the crime of being someone like Don and David and you know, many of you and us, who have participated in demonstrations. So he came here to escape that, and he was snatched and deported to the El Salvadoran prison for a while. I don't know if that is still true, but for a while he was incognito. They could not find him. There is a list that you can look at of ICE people that they have arrested, where they tell you where they are. He was not on that list, and many others were not on that list, and might still not be on that list. You may have seen the video of Christy Noem, who is responsible for ICE, standing in front of the El Salvadoran concentration camp, where they have disappeared more than 150 people without due process. It's shocking. It's absolutely shocking. It's really reminiscent of these pictures of the Nazi concentration camps once they were liberated by forces, including American forces, and the people who survived them, all skinny and with their heads shaved and looking just really semi-human. That's what you see behind Christy Noem, who stands there looking so beautiful with her fake boobs and tight shirt and fake eyelashes and $50,000 or $60,000 watch. And yeah, there she stands and tells people that this will happen to them too if they don't just leave the United States right now. And I hear from Sarah that Jeff Charlotte, who I like him very much, and I hope to have him sometime on my show, but he wrote on his blog how staged that photo is. Moments before the photo, the men were wearing shirts. So I mean, I guess that means that they took off their shirts for that photo op, which, I mean, that is so disturbing and so wrong and so terrible. And people, I'm surprised not to hear from you at 608-256-2001. I know you have opinions. I know you have concerns. I know there are things that matter to you, and this is your opportunity to share them. Usually these open lines have 10, 12, 15 callers. We've had only two so far. My mouth is getting dry from talking so much. So it really, unless you want to hear me drinking on the air, it would be good to hear from one or two of you. I will talk about that in a minute. One piece of good news is that Democrats flipped a deeply Republican district in Pennsylvania. Musk paid voters there, just as he's doing here. And, you know, besides the 2 million that he promised to, I guess, any of us who voted, he has been giving here and there in Pennsylvania $100 to any person who promised to vote on some form that I don't know. Sarah, do you know how like what's the no, you don't know either. I don't know what the details are. Like, how do I get $100 for Musk, because I am definitely going to vote. But I hear from Sarah that there are no details. He's not saying so. Okay, so he's promising $100 for everyone who votes, but he doesn't tell how to get that $100. Well, very surprising. So, as my mouth is getting dry, I wonder about these folks who, you know, have these 1 hour, 2 hours running of them just basically talking nonstop, which it's a format that has never appealed to me at all, not on MSNBC, not anywhere else. But our guest was supposed to join us, and I won't mention the name, but he's involved, among other things, with one of these things. And I watched the one that they did yesterday or the day before. And it was him and another guy. The other guy talked about 80% of the time, hardly let our, presumed guest talk for maybe 20%, but I found that that whole hour, or I don't know, I think it was longer than an hour, quite disturbing. It came from presumably a progressive point of view, but they were talking about things like Signal Gate and deportations, and you know, they talked about important things, Musk, Trump, but the general tone was, oh yeah, they're so stupid, they do such stupid things. Just very flippant, and to me sounding very I don't know, you know, something that and actually the other guy wasn't a white man, so I don't want to say white privilege, but it sounded very privileged. You know, by people who thinks that this cannot happen to them and they don't have to take it really seriously, they can just make fun of it. I don't think we should be making fun of what's going on. I think we should take it very, very seriously. Everything in me is, all of my red lights are and have been flashing for quite a while. And I mentioned it before. I am the daughter of a Holocaust survivor and of a survivor of the Nazi Blitz on London. I was raised among people with numbers tattooed on their arms. You know, I was raised among people who survived the Holocaust. And, you know, there were people who didn't take it seriously. And we know what happened to them. And there were people who took it seriously, and we still know what happened to them. And I think that we need to be very serious about what is going on and understand it and conduct our lives accordingly. So, Pat, thank you for calling and giving me a break to take a drink of water. What's on your mind?
Sihana, thank you so much for Democracy Now! This is such an important program because, as you, it just broke my heart with your comment about being a child of a Holocaust survivor, because all of the steps that are being taken right now by our government are directly steps that are taken by authoritarian governments. And, you know, number one, what's most important, I grew up in a media family. Both my parents were reporters, and the independence of media is so vital in the resistance against authoritarianism. And so WORT is one of our most important examples of resistance. You know, we need an independent media so that we can call out the issues that are so critical that are going on right now, like, you know, the terrible cabinet that we have that are so incompetent, and examples that are obvious with, you know, the defense mistakes and the security mistakes. And, you know, they're attacking the Constitution. You know, they are attacking the Birthright Amendment, which that's just one example, and there are many. These are the direct steps that happen in authoritarian governments. You know, they're, of course, you know, in, you know, taking the richest person in the world and going after step by step, destroying constitutional issues, trying to take away the rights of the Congress to act, the rights of the judiciary. So we're seeing it playing out day by day, and I'm frightened, and I think we need to resist in very open ways. So I appreciate you, I appreciate WRT, and I appreciated the previous caller who talked about making sure we all read about this and resist.
Yes. Pat, thank you so very much. I agree with everything that you said. Of course, it is a reason to support WORT. If you did not pledge or donate during the pledge drive, you can do it really anytime. You can let Susan know why it is you're pledging, like what Pat was just saying, for example, or donating, preferably even. I think what we're doing here is so incredibly important, and that includes, I agree with you, Pat, Democracy Now! While I was gone, I was checking out on Democracy Now! Almost every day. When I didn't, I felt the lack of not knowing what was happening, because Amy Goodman and the team there are talking about the stuff that, you know, others aren't. And it is here on WORT that you can hear that. So, yes, I agree. It's very important. And thank you, Pat. And we have Mike on the line, and I would love to hear from, you know, a few women too. Mike.
Hi, Esty. Your point about the one of the guests who was supposed to be here.
Yeah.
And the rest of the commentary by the other person on that particular show.
Yeah.
Bringing up the idea of sort of the approach that I see in the media, and I mean, I'm talking about commercial media, is sort of this aloof sort of intellectualization and that insulting, you know, oh, they're a bunch of boobs, or, you know, of course they'll use the more, you know, educated term. But the whole thing is, that's kind of what the Democrats are not able to fathom, is that the Republicans play at the emotional level of people. They talk about, you know, like freedom, and they talk about, you know, religious, you know, related issues, abortions, and so on. But these are all keyed to an emotional response, you know, based on some of the most deep-seated things we have in our culture, our religion, our adherence to authority figures. They play on these knowledgeably. I mean, they have the at their disposal the combined work of these experts who are hired by think tanks on the right, who produce this stuff, hand it to the politicians like Trump, who read it off a script, and then that's the end of it. You know, it's like they really don't know what they're doing, but they can sure read it off of a piece of paper or a teleprompter. These people are evil. You know, enough of this stuff about incompetent. They are evil. They do things with evil intent and evil outcomes. When you talked about the woman who was basically kidnapped by ICE, by thugs, under any other circumstances, would be defined that way. That's brutal. That's the type of things that people need to be up in arms about. They need to demand that their representatives, you know, say something, do something, because I've, you know, contacted the offices, and I get a very, you know, I'm working hard, and I've got all these things in my accomplishments, and, you know, like Ron Johnson, you just can't get into his office. I mean, you basically talk to a machine if you're lucky, and even then, you get nothing. So the whole point is, these people, they know what they're in there for. They're in there for the money and the power, and they follow orders because that's how they get the money and the power. And otherwise, they could care less. So, I mean, we have to label evil as evil. So thank you, Esty, for your show, and I'd be delighted to hear your commentary. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. And I agree. I think we are in mortar currently. And I also want to add the, you know, if nothing else can move people, how about the notion that it might touch you eventually, and maybe very quickly, because things are happening so quickly. So, you know, first they came for the non-citizen students, and then they came for the others, and then they came for others yet, and then they came for you. And by then there was no one who would speak for you. So remember that. They are changing the United States in meteoric speed. Hitler did that too. Things are rolling so fast, you, American citizen, white, whatever, might very well be the next target in a month or two or six. So, you know, now is the time to try and avoid or stop that from happening. Helena, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for this program. It's really great. And I just wanted to throw in my two cents. Now is a time that it's really important to take care of one's own mental health. And to we must stay informed. We listen to WRT for independent news and Amy Goodman, Democracy Now! And everything. But we must also take care of our mental health and make sure that we have at least a break a day to do something that brings you joy in a healthy way. And keep in touch with your own, you know, spirit and joy. Don't try not to get too overwhelmed. Give yourself a break from the news. And maybe what you could do is volunteer at one place or send money to one organization on a monthly basis to help yourself feel like you're doing something to address this. And that's really all I had to say. Thank you, Esty.
Well, so Helena, just stay here a moment because I know that you're active. I have found that, first of all, yes, you're right. So I take walks. I put myself in nature. I garden, which I can't wait for that to happen, and so on and so forth. But also, did I lose my train of thought? So one thing that I have found through the years and again now is that activism actually helps against despair and against overwhelm. So if you do stuff, you can keep on going. Whereas if you don't do stuff, you might just find yourself in fetal position in your basement and you know, not being able to pull yourself out of there. You agree, it sounds like.
I agree with that. And if you do, it doesn't have to be major. You know, maybe you're not in a situation where you have time to volunteer. You could just send $5 a month to the ACLU or whatever, you know, speaks to you. It could be animals, it could be anything that speaks to you, but just do one thing to help yourself feel like you're doing something to address this big issue. But we have to take it one pebble at a time, and then we fill the bucket. We all do what we can.
All right. Thank you, Helena.
My pleasure. Thank you, Esty.
And we have some breaking news update here. Billionaire Elon Musk on Friday, today, deleted a social media post in which he had announced plans to hold a rally in Wisconsin to personally hand over $2 million to a pair of voters who have already cast their ballots in the state's hotly contested Supreme Court race. So I guess there goes my $2 million. I haven't voted yet, but I am actually going to put my ballot in one of these boxes that Elon and Trump don't like. I'm going to put it today. So I'm just about. I just need the signature. We have Sandy on the line. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Esty. Thank you for the great program and the chance to talk to you about things.
Thank you for calling.
I'm part of the collective that puts on the Her Turn show, the feminist news show on WORT, mm-hmm. on Sunday at 11 o'clock. And it got me to thinking that if people out there want to get involved, women out there want to do something, we would love to have you volunteer with us on the show. And so just get a hold of Shali or somebody at the station and let us know that you'd be interested in volunteering on Her Turn. Because we would love to have people that are really want to have something to say and really want to do something about what's going on.
Yeah, and that's probably Adrian rather than Shali.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you can just call the station and whoever is answering the phone would be able to transfer you to the right person, which reminds me to thank also Lainey and all the people who are here answering the phones or the people who are doing stuff that is not visible. They're not hosting a show, but without them, the station would not exist. And so thanks to everyone, to all the volunteers who are involved in the work that it takes to keep this station going. Anything else, Sandy?
No, I guess I'd want to say you had asked the first caller, I think it was Don, who didn't have much hope about anything, how he was feeling. And I want to tell you, I go from really a lot of hope to complete despair, and it's almost like every day.
Yeah.
But it really helps, I think, to have shows like this and to be able to participate in things. There's going to be the demonstration in Madison next Saturday, actually around the country, including in Washington, D.C., so do things like that. And to get on and to join us on Her Turn and be able to feel like you're doing something, that gives you some hope.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sandy.
Thanks, Esty. Bye-bye.
Bye. And we have another woman, Emily. Hi, you're on the air.
I had so much to say, but I think the most important thing, and this is my personal experience, I had become so in despair and disillusioned. And even though kind of understanding how things go, it just in the world, and that we go through these patterns of really bad stuff happening, and then it gets better, and then bad stuff happening. This is very, very bad. And I'll admit, I was suicidal for months and months. And it was pretty much just last night. And I can't say enough about this show called Gaia. It's like a channel called Gaia. And they have a lot of different programs about a lot of different subjects. But they were just talking about how we need to make a commitment to actually be here on this earth. And that's when we'll see things start to change. And I think to take care of ourselves, and if you're feeling overwhelmed, and a lot of us are, filter your thoughts and say, is this mine? Is this my thought? And if no, then where is it coming from? And if it's not your thought, say, I don't consent for this thought to be consuming me right now. It's a real important thing to just have consent. And that's helped me. I actually, for the first time in a long time, actually want to be here, and I want to be a part of this, and I want to help. Music helps. Art helps. There's a song. We're in a hostile government takeover. It was a guy on the internet. It's a great song. I don't know what it's called, but it's like my anthem.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, if it helps anyone.
Yeah, Emily, first of all, thank you so much for calling, and I'm so glad that you found hope and that you found your place, I suppose, in this storm that is engulfing all of us. Very, very bad storm, right? Very damaging storm.
Worst storm I've seen.
Yeah, but here we are. Here we are, and we're here for a reason, I suppose. And we have a role to enact, to hold. So, so please stay as you are right now.
Yes. Meditation. Just spend time by yourself. No noise, no phones, just your own self.
And nature, our Mother Earth.
Yeah, nature.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Music, definitely music. Hopeful music.
Yeah.
We need more anthems. We need more people to write songs that are anthems for now. We need anthems.
Well, let's
come on, anthems.
Summer, let's see if we can end today with We Rise. But before that, thank you, Emily. Really appreciate hearing from you. And Connie, you're on the line.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for the show and for bringing awareness. And Etsy, you and I used to carpool in the Madison. And
oh, hi.
From Spring Green.
Yeah.
And so I don't usually listen to your show, but I did today, and I just wanted to thank you for keeping up the struggle. And another anthem could be a Neil Young one that I can't think of it right now. Got a lot of good stuff out there.
Well, Sandy,
thanks for your show and what you're doing.
Yeah, and call later or send us an email or something with your anthem, because Emily is right. You know, we need them now. So thanks, Connie. And just so you know, we have the archives. You can always listen to shows that you could not listen to later. So, Summer, do we have We Rise? No. Okay, it's by We Rise, humbly hearted rise, won't be divided. It's all over the net. Hey, come on, let's find it quickly. Oh, okay, that's disappointing. We'll play it maybe next time. Thank you so much to Summer and Sarah and Lainey and everybody else, as I said earlier. Thank you all for listening and for calling. I'm Esty Dinor. We'll be talking again next week. Bye-bye.
6'6" above sea level. I grab the mic because I like to take it to another mental level. Low power frequency radio modulation. The big sound from underground, another pirate station. We bring the truth to places truth is never heard before. We bring the sound communication of our tribal war. Dark vision fly by helicopters in the night. Attempt triangulation.
You're listening to WRT Madison.
Straight from the base, deep down, low precision. High crime treason, we broadcast in sedition. Like the Wall Street Morning Afternoon Edition. Commandeering airwaves from unknown positions. Live and direct, we come and never pre-recorded. With information that would never be...
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. Sugar and spine, I feel nice. A sugar and spine, so nice, so nice. I got you.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to the Mel and Floyd Summer Replacement Show. I'm Mel. Floyd is on assignment, but back with us after a week's hiatus, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Guten Tag.
How was Austria?
It was great.
Did you pick up any tips there? Historically speaking?
I spent my time at the Mozart Museum, and meanwhile, companion was busy looking around for big piles of European science money. So.
Did he have like a cardboard sign listed by the Autobahn?
Yes. And
exactly. Will science for money?
Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, he might have to become an astrologer.
Good point. Good point.